Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Redeemer Theological Academy. Confessing Christ to an Unbelieving World. With Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer.
You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Keschelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in today's lecture, we're going to continue our discussion on the topic of Isaiah chapter 3. Now, we began this last time, but now we want to zero in specifically on verse 13. The Yahweh has taken his place to contend. He stands to judge peoples. And so that's where we want to zero our focus on that passage. We've got a lot to cover, so let's go ahead and begin. Now in verse 9, here's what Isaiah writes. For the look on their faces bears witness against them. They proclaim their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Again, this is verse 9 in chapter 3. Now as we hear this, this should echo in the back of our head what we heard in chapter 1 of Isaiah, in which the prophet proclaims and says, "Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah." Now again, these are not kind words. This is not a compliment that the prophet is giving to the people of God. Instead, what he's doing is basically asserting that the people of God are no different than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah who did not have the word of God, who refused to learn or to hear and listen to the word of God and to believe his promises. And of course, we know what then took place as those people refused to listen. There was none except Lot and his family who were righteous, that is, by faith, who trusted in the promises of God. For the whole rest of the city rejected the word of God and rebelled against God's word and were destroyed. So now here Isaiah is calling the people Sodom. And so he says, just like in Sodom, you are acting like those people who are not God's people. Those people who are in darkness and do not walk in the light. For what you do is you go around proclaiming your sin as if it's a good thing. So you're calling evil good, and you're calling good evil. You're twisting and distorting and perverting everything. And of course, you go around and you do not even hide your sin, like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the people of God have now found themselves in the same kind of a place as not the people of God. Now again, of course, in the New Testament, this language of Sodom for Jerusalem comes back up again in Revelation chapter 11. When John the Apostle writes, "And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that rises from the bottomless pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that is symbolically called Sodom and Egypt, where their Lord was crucified." So again, in Revelation chapter 11, we're making it clear that Jerusalem is being called Sodom, because this is the place where they rejected their king, and they put to death the author of life. And so now in the book of Revelation, the Jerusalem is being referred to as Sodom and Egypt. Egypt, again, who did not have God's word, who were fighting against God's word and trying to prevent his kingdom from coming. And so now you have Jerusalem being called Sodom, in open rebellion against Yahweh, their king. Jerusalem, of course, is the place of his presence. So they're doing this right in front of his own face. They don't cover up their sin. They're not ashamed at all. They think what they're doing is perfectly fine. They think that sin is good. But of course, the prophet calls them out and tells them that they are now like Sodom. We continue at verse 10. Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for what his hands have dealt out shall be done to him. And so this is verses 10 and 11. And when we hear these words, like, tell the righteous it shall be well with them, but woe to the wicked it shall be ill with them, that we should trigger in our memory the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 6, where Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. And then he turns and says, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. And woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. And so these words of blessing and curse, the words of woe to the wicked, is to the unbelievers, those who will not listen. But to the righteous, those are the ones who have faith. We are lived by faith, and the righteous are those who continue to hear the word and trust in the promises of God. So throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament, the righteous are those ones who listen and believe, trusting the promise, whereas the wicked are those who resist the work of the Holy Spirit and refuse to listen and do not believe. And so when you go back to Sodom, now remember, the righteous were Lot and his daughters who were delivered from Sodom. Okay? So again, if the people of God in Jerusalem are now acting like Sodom, so in the back of our minds, we should recall that when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, the righteous, that is, Lot and his daughters, were delivered from Sodom. Whereas the wicked, those who would not listen, were destroyed. And that's why going back to Isaiah chapter 1, remember, where the prophet says, if Yahweh of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. And so here in this passage in chapter 3, he's saying Jerusalem is like Sodom. It will be destroyed, and the majority will not listen. However, just like in the days of Lot, there was the few, the remnant, those who left over, those few survivors who were righteous by faith, who were delivered out of Jerusalem. And so the same thing happens in the days of the apostles. The apostles are the small remnant who trust in the promised Messiah, the coming one that Isaiah is proclaiming. And they were the remnant. They were the few survivors that were left, because Jerusalem in the days of Jesus, when they crucified their king, became like Sodom and Gomorrah. But these few apostles, these disciples who were students of Jesus, who continued to hear and believe, were left as the remnant. And they were delivered out of Jerusalem when it was destroyed in A.D. 70. Now, it's the Holy Spirit who provides comfort for the believers. And so when we learn about this, woe to those who are wicked, it will not be good for them, it will go ill, but comfort to the righteous, for it will go well with them. This should call to mind the separation of the sheep and the goats at the end of time. For it is the sheep who listen to the voice of the good shepherd. Like in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, what will take place here is you will have a separation. The sheep who listen to the shepherd, and the goats who continue to rebel and refuse to listen, resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. And so Isaiah is proclaiming this judgment that will take place. And so in verse 12, we continue with the text of Isaiah, and it says, O my people, your guides mislead you, and they have swallowed up the course of your paths. And so Isaiah is warning the people of God. The people of God, where God says, my people. It is the guides who are blind in misleading the people. And so, of course, an early church father, such as Cyril of Alexandria, when he looks at a passage like this, he notes that those who were appointed to be teachers were entrusted with the instruction of God in order to bring their subjects to every form of godliness, this goodness, and to rebuke sinners, to correct those who have been fallen, and to exemplify the way of piety, to walk in the light of the Lord, and to give guidance to better behavior. And Cyril notes that those who were guides in the days of Isaiah were to point to the end of the law, so that they understand that Christ is coming, that he is the end of the law and the prophets. It is of him that Moses and all the prophets spoke in shadows and types, fulfilling to the people in former times this mystery that would be fulfilled in the days of the apostles. But as Cyril notes, in the days of Isaiah they did not listen, and in the days of the apostles, they did not listen. We return to Isaiah chapter 3 of verse 13, and this is where you have this message. Yahweh has taken his place to contend. He stands to judge peoples. So we have this understanding that Yahweh will judge. And as we confessed, Christ is the judge. Christ is the one who will come to judge the living and the dead. So this judgment begins now in the house of God. And so you have this separating from the righteous are being separated from the wicked. The sheep who listen to the voice of the shepherd are being separated from the goats who refuse to listen. So that you have this passage. Yahweh has taken his place to contend. He stands to judge his peoples. And so the judgment will happen. Just like in our day, we continue to listen to the preaching of the apostles in our gatherings, that the judgment of Jesus will happen. He will come to judge the living and the dead. But as we are warned about this judgment, you have the words that to the righteous saying, tell the righteous that it shall be well with them. These are the repentant believers. These are the ones who listen to the voice of the shepherd. These are the ones who are already sheep before the judgment. They already know what the judgment will be. Not guilty on account of the sacrificial death of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so, the word that he will come to judge the living and the dead, well, the believers continue to hear that word of promise, that to the righteous it shall be well. However, on the other hand, woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him. These are the unrepentant believers. These are the ones who do not listen to the voice of the shepherd now. They are already goats. And so they go before the judge as goats who resist and rebel against their king. And so this whole imagery that Yahweh comes to stand and contend and to judge is the image that Jesus gives to us in Matthew chapter 25, in which Christ our Lord says this: "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Now then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" And so these are the words of Christ the King, the one who will come to judge the living and the dead, as he speaks to the righteous. Now we know before the judgment that it will go well with the righteous, and the righteous will stand before the judgment throne, and they will hear the verdict. And the verdict is they are not guilty. They are already sheep. And as sheep, they have already been doing sheep things. So notice, in this judgment of the king, all he does is note the good things that they have done in him. Because all of their evil, wicked things, all of their sin are not counted against them. They are counted against Christ on the cross. And so this is what is good and well for the sheep. The righteous, this judgment will go in your favor, because we already know that Christ was judged on the cross for our sin. He came to take away our sin. And so the only thing that's left, because our sin is being covered by his righteousness, is he only sees our righteous deeds that we have done in him, as the Holy Spirit continues to work in us, to renew us, and to restore us, that we begin to walk like Jesus, that we are being molded and shaped into the image of Christ. Those who are righteous by faith are the ones that Isaiah was talking about in chapter 1, who are learning to do good and to seek justice, who are trying to bring justice to the orphans and plead the widow's cause. Now notice what Christ lists in the things that they've done. They've done things for the benefit of their neighbor. So again, God does not need our good works. Our good works do not merit our favor with God. Instead, Christ alone merits favor with God by his work, as his, in both his active and passive obedience to the will of the Father. But notice again, what he's giving is a list of things they have done for the benefit of neighbor in their vocation. And so they are loving their neighbor. And by loving their neighbor, they are loving Christ. They're loving God. Now, on the flip side, you have the wicked. That is, the unbelievers, the goats who refuse to listen to the word of God. And so the judgment comes down upon them. So then Christ, when he gathers the sheep and the goats together and separates them, he says to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now again, this is just like Isaiah chapter 1. Those who are righteous by faith, who continue to listen to the promise that's fulfilled in the Messiah, the one who takes away our sin, making us righteous by his own righteousness being bestowed upon us, and he takes our wickedness as if it were his own. The contrast is with those who do not cover up their sin, those who continue to live in unrepentant sin. And so in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 23, "Your princes and rebels are companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them." You see the contrast. The righteous who are righteous by faith, the sheep who listen to the word, are learning to seek justice and to be of benefit to the orphan who does not have parents, and to the widow who does not have a husband. They're trying to be a benefit and love those who are in need where they can be of service. But the unrighteous, the wicked, the goats, they refuse to do things for others. They refuse to love others. Instead, they love themselves and they love their own sin. That's why they walk around with their sin uncovered. Now again, notice the contrast. When the sheep come before the shepherd king who judges, he tells the sheep, "This is what you have done for the benefit of others." On the other hand, when the goats come before the king, he does not speak of a single good thing that they did. He only speaks of the wicked things. So anything that they've done that is good or decent or upright or a morality that they would live in a certain type of a code of ethics, that has no bearing in the judgment. For all he sees is their wicked acts toward the neighbor. They do not bring justice to the fatherless, and they do not come to the cause of the widow. They do not feed the hungry. They do not clothe the naked. They do not help those who are sick. They do not go and visit those who are in prison. And so again, the contrast. The sheep, all he sees is their good things because their sin are not counted against them. Whereas the wicked, the goats, all he sees is their sin. And that is counted against them. And he shows it in their failure to actually love their neighbor. And so we return to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 14. "Yahweh will enter into judgment with the elders and the princes of his people. It is you who have devoured the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses." And so what'll take place here, Isaiah proclaims that God will come down on the leaders, the guides, those who have led the people astray, and they have guided the people of God into darkness away from the light. They're the ones who were given as managers of the vineyard, stewards of the vineyard. Yet they're the very ones who have devoured the vineyard. Later in Isaiah chapter 5, we'll hear more about this judgment of the stewards of the vineyard. But in all of this, the ones who devoured the vineyard were the ones who were to watch after it. The ones who were taking advantage of the poor were blessed with riches so that they could be of benefit to the poor. Those who were placed into an office to serve the public instead serve their own bellies. And so the poor are before their eyes, and they refuse to be of service to them. Instead, they use the poor to take advantage of them. In Matthew 21, Jesus says, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" Now, this is the parable that Jesus put before the leaders in his day, in that area of Jerusalem, the place where the people of God were to gather into God's presence and to learn from his Torah. And the leaders respond, "Well, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." And so this was in Matthew chapter 21. And so again, what Jesus here is giving in a parable is tied to what Isaiah was saying back in chapter 3 and later in chapter 5 about the vineyard. For the tenants, those who were to be the stewards, the managers of the vineyard, are the very ones who have devoured the vineyard. And what will happen? Judgment will take place. And these leaders, these elders and princes and rulers of the people will be taken away. And instead, there will be new rulers and new princes who will then judge the house of Israel, which will be the apostles. They failed to watch the vineyard with sound teaching and the good example of life. But the apostles will be the ones who will bring the apostolic teaching, as they take over the vineyard, and the vineyard will be removed from Jerusalem and will go out to all nations. And then in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 15, the question comes to these leaders, "What do you mean by crushing my people by grinding the face of the poor, declares the Lord God of hosts?" And then in verse 25, "Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty men in battle." So that we have the destruction of Jerusalem under the Babylonians is going to foreshadow the destruction of Jerusalem under the Romans after they've rejected Christ, their king.
thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.